Today's first reading comes from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you. Just as we start, I just want a question, maybe have a little reflection. Here's the question for you. Think about a time yesterday when you were aware of the presence and the purifying power of God in your life. Time yesterday. I'm not sure if that was easy or hard. Interesting, isn't it? This great reality that God is with us, God is in us, and that just makes an extraordinary difference. It sometimes, is it, wonder if it's true for you, I won't put words in your mouth, but sometimes with the busyness and everything going on, the noise and the other voices, the to-do lists, the mess, you can get through a day. Maybe you can get through some days or a week, and you've actually gone, but have we actually been attentive and had our eyes awake to that incredible, powerful, loving presence of God in your life in a way that is just so filling and brings peace and joy that out of that daily experience, you have something to share and you just can't wait to tell with someone else? It's a testimony not of trying to think out some evangelistic steps of rules for someone. It's out of an experience of the love of God and the transforming work that brings joy and peace that you just have to share and make known. think that's what the passage invites us to think about this morning. It's a story that often we think about and it can easily get left in the past. And it's a fun one, but it matters now. And it can make a difference. And I want to first start off just locating this story in the big story of God. Just to bring it up, I hope it'll connect. It's not what I want to dwell on. But remember to start off that this loving God that is for us and brings life. And we get this poem at the start of Genesis. It's this incredible God that creates this cosmic temple filled with life and flourishing. And the center of it isn't a carved dead image, but a living image. The first humans to be priests, to be prophets, chewing God's word, to offer up right worship, and to bear image, to rule and have dominion over. And that the humans fail in that vocation to offer up true worship, to steward the word. And there is this sort of exile from that presence. And that starts that sort of theme as we go through, and God's faithfulness, even in spite of desiring to be with people anyway and pursuing them. And you get this, the idea of the tabernacle. It's how can humanity dwell in the presence of this holy God? Why do we keep turning away? And there's this tabernacle and the presence of God's in the tabernacle. So I stay close to this. And there's priests have to make right sacrifice for that. And as the temple gets built, and the glory of the Lord comes and fills this holy of holies. But again, these priests have to mediate this presence before God. And the priesthood becomes corrupted. They're not offering right sacrifice. And the low point in the Old Testament, you see this all of a sudden, there's this judgment, the people are exiled from the land. So the glory of God leaves the temple. It's a shock. And the people, they eventually come back into the land, they rebuild the temple, but there's no sign the glory of the Lord ever comes back. So there's this building, but God's presence not there. And we get, for Malachi, there's this reading, and there's this promise of God that comes through the prophet that says that, that the Lord will return. I was singing the Messiah this week, and suddenly he'll appear in his temple. And he will purify, he will purify. I shouldn't be saying, I'm looking at a choir director over there, and there is no invite coming. But there's this thing that suddenly the Lord will return to his temple. This great hope, the return of God's glory, the return of God to be with God's people. It's saying, but then there's this question that sits, well, who can stand before him? Who can stand before? And then there's this priest is saying, this one is going to come and fulfill this role and offer right offering. It's going to purify and heal. And the people are looking and they're waiting. And it happens in this story. This is the glory of the Lord returning to the temple. And just about everyone misses it. Then, now, it's possible. And yet God, this whole story is telling us about God's faithfulness, working through faithful people, coming in and entering this place. And we're told of these two incredible people who don't miss it. And I'm interested this morning, just looking, what is it about Simeon and Anna, that they were awake, that they were expectant, that they were attuned, that they didn't miss the appearing of God's presence? And the peace and the joy that it brought them. So a couple of thoughts, and then what we can bring in a really practical way in our lives to experience what we know to be true and we declare to be true. We can experience it to be true in transforming ways. I love Simeon. Simeon had an expectant hope because it's based on trust in God's word and God's promises. He believed God's word to be true, held it tight, held it close. He was also led by the Spirit. Notice the work of the Spirit and this leading and guiding and bringing about these events. He allowed that prompt. Have you heard those nudges sometimes? Promptings and different things. You don't really know what it's about. Sometimes a name, a person comes to your head. You end up now and again, if you ring them up and there was something that was going on there, you know, you do something that you didn't think you planned, and this God moment happens because the Spirit is alive and leading and inviting us to participate in the work of God in the world. The Spirit leads and guides, and Simeon was attentive to that and responded faithfully in that moment. So because Simeon was awake and expectant and ready, trusting in God's word, led by the Spirit, he sees God's salvation, he calls it Jesus. He recognizes the Christ as God's salvation, receives him in his arms, takes it on board. And what's the response? Incredible peace. Anything that you could possibly live for, anything you could ever possibly have, it's like, actually, this is it. Anything I could have had in life, this is it. Now, let your servant depart in peace. It's part of the evening prayer in the church. The end of the day, when all else fails, even if all else seems to be great, where does true peace come from? In God's salvation and love and presence. We can know that. I love Anna as well. Man, you look at what does it mean like to what does it mean? What is a successful, fruitful life? What did Anna produce? What did she earn? Who did she impress? Married and then shortly after widowed, was it 80-something years, right? In a culture that you were the lowest of the low, and the loneliness that went to that, did it take her joy or her faithfulness? No. She worshipped day and night. How? Through fasting and through prayer. Interesting ways to think about worship, aren't they? Worship through fasting and prayer. Fasting, actually recognizing that all of the other stuff that I'm promised, my deepest hunger, my deepest thirsts, all the things I could give myself to, aren't actually going to satisfy. Fasting is set aside, feeling those hungers and recognizing that actually the one that truly quenches my thirst, that satisfies my hunger, that meets my deepest longings and needs is God. Form of worship, recognizing God is the one we want that brings peace. And there's still longings with that. There's still brokenness. There's still hurt. There's still struggles in the day. Those are still realities. It doesn't turn them into whinging or whining or gossiping, but actually brings those unmet longings and yearnings and brings them back as prayer to God. Worship through fasting, yearning, saying, you are the one that I want and I need and I know is for me. And I'm bringing this to you in conversation because you love me. What a woman. Extraordinary. But I bet she didn't seem like much in the world's eyes. She's a hero. And she, doesn't she respond amazingly? Just has to tell. Has to tell. Not because she feels some sort of Christian guilt about saving someone's soul. It's not her job. She's just recognized the reality of the presence of God in her life. Joy, let me tell you. Let me tell you. And everyone else missed it. The great return, the great promises of God to God's temple. But not the ones that are awake and waiting and yearning. Jesus talked about us being awake too, didn't he? And being aware. Sort of thought, well, okay, so Chris, how? What? How do I do that on a daily basis? One of the ways that people in the church, people like you and me, journeyers on this path of life and our walk with Jesus, one of the things we've done is to take a time at the end of the day, and it's a prayer called Examine. And I'm just going to share a couple of the steps of that. I'm trying to grow in that and practice that. I encourage you to as well, not so you can earn some Jesus points, but because God is with you and me, and there's a lot of stuff that would distract it, and it is possible to go through a whole day blind to it. Here's a thought, here's we start. The prayer of Examine. It's good to be still. Boy, that can be hard sometimes in itself, can't it? Still and quiet, but we're going to give it a go. Find a spot, take some deep breaths. Amazing what deep breaths can do. We're going to ask God for God's help in this. It's one of the things when we want to reflect on our lives and on our day. Boy, without God's help, it can be easy to fall into self-loathing or condemnation or self-righteousness as we reflect on our shortcomings or how well we've lived up to things. So I want to pray and ask God's Spirit to lead this time. And I want to be able to be honest about my day, but at the same time, to see me how God sees me. For you to see you, how God sees you as beloved. We start off and Thanksgiving. Thank you, Elisha, for leading us in that part of our worship this morning. It's a great place to start. What gifts did God give me today? I wonder if I did sense that presence of God or a voice of God, God speaking to me through an interaction or a moment. Maybe there was, you know, some material blessing or comfort that I got, a friendship, someone in my life, provision of work. What was it? Was there something that brought joy? Thank God for them. All good things come from God. They're gifts. We told Mary, treasured all these things in her heart. The end of each day, treasure them in our heart. Think about them, see them. We don't take them for granted. Tonight, I'm going to treasure up. There's something happened in worship there as we're leading. I have flat days. You want to ask flat days? And have them. It's part of my makeup sometimes. Sitting there in worship, and you know, Elijah and the team are just directing our hearts toward God. And Charlie came over. Boy, and he just jumped up and wanted a hug. And he just jumped up and he just hugged me and held me really tight while we were singing and worshiping. And he turned his little face toward me and he just whispered on my ear. He said, "I love you, Dad. He said, I love you so much." And the whole way sort of through that, and I was weeping, and you couldn't see it, but I was. That's God's presence in his life, in my life, in our midst. It's the love between a father and the son through the Spirit. That's what we're invited into. God is with us. I experience that goodness of God. And I wanted to tell you about it. It wasn't in the notes. What gifts did God give me today? Treasure them in my heart, your heart. Next one we want to take a look into as well. God is in the good and the struggle as well. The hope is that God is with us even when we don't measure up. Andrew led us through that beautifully this morning as well. So as we reflect back in a day and we want to be aware of if God's presence in our lives is purifying love of God in our lives that can transform. I want to think about, well, am I conscious of any wrongdoing today? Are there areas where I've acted badly? Let the Holy Spirit bring me and remind me of that. And if so, say sorry to God. Give voice to it. Don't deny it. Before the one who loves us, we're beloved. Let God do God's work. Have I been resentful today? Have I been selfish? Have I been dishonest? Do I owe anyone an apology? God's work is to reconcile to God and to others. Be mindful. I don't want to just bluster on. Is anyone I failed to love? Was there anything I did? Perhaps in my vocation, in the workplace we sent us out last week, in the power of the Spirit to our vocations, is there anything I did today that might have been done in a better manner? Bring that to mind. So you get lost in hurry, busyness. When did that happen? I wonder what precipitated that. Is there a reason that I buried myself in busyness? I wonder if God might want to speak into that. Invite the Spirit to enlighten, to give me insight into that. I don't know, did I experience disappointment or despair or lostness? Can I encounter God in that moment? Maybe God's got something to speak into that reality, I can become aware of God's presence. In the moment, allow God to forgive, to heal, to purify. Someone once asked a pastor friend of mine, "How do you know when you're done praying?" I probably told you this before, and he said, you don't get off your knees until you know that God loves you. When you know that God loves you and you're reminded of that, you can stop. Let God into it. And lastly, and look ahead to tomorrow. Thank God for God's presence in our day, God's purifying work. What aspect maybe of my inner life or that something that I've learned or God has spoken to me today, what might I want to bring to special attention tomorrow in a way that I can be growing and changing and allowing God, the Spirit, to shape me to become more and more like Jesus. And pray for that Holy Spirit's work in our lives. It's an incredible fact. God is with us. God is in us. And God is for us. I pray that this story isn't something that's left in the past, but like Anna and Simeon, we'd be faithful. We would trust in the faithfulness of God's word, be led by God's Spirit, and encounter those beautiful gifts and realities each day in a way that would transform us and grow us up in stature and likeness of Christ as well. I'm going to invite Elisha and the team to come back up the wood, and I'm going to get them to minister to us again, a chance to worship through song, but again to think about God with us. And as we do that, I'm going to prepare the table. I want to say if daily we can experience one of the special ways we can really encounter the very real presence of God, it's at the Lord's table each week. During this text, there's a hint right there already in this 40-day-old baby that Jesus, there's one who appears in the temple who will purify and will bring about an acceptable offering. There's a hint there that it will come about through his own suffering. And yet this one who will purify, be the true priest, who will enable all our imperfect offerings, that in Christ, our great high priest, will bring them before the Lord in an acceptable way. And that's as we come to the table today, we're led by the word of God, the Spirit of God, to come to the table of the Lord as beloved sons and daughters, to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. It's for us to be invited in Christ and through the ministry of Christ for heaven and earth to meet, for us to experience that together and to go back out in the power of the Spirit with a message of peace and of joy and God's transforming power with us. I pray that for each of us as we sing, worship, and come to God's table at his invite today.